2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 9. Remember, the Apostle Paul's done giving Timothy pastoral instructions. He's all done with that. There's no more of that for the rest of this letter. This is personal. He makes some personal requests here. He says in verse 9, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." When my dad was in Vietnam, he was in the Air Force. He was stationed on a base in which their job was to fly night missions and take out the enemy supply lines. It was very dangerous work because the enemy supply lines were always heavily armed, and they shot back. And a lot of those planes didn't make it back. And my dad said more than once his plane returned to the base full of holes. But most of his action was seen from the air. But then one time the Vietnamese broke through the lines and started to come down upon where the Air Force base was through the jungles. They knew they were coming. They sounded the alarm. They said, "Everybody load up, grab your rifles." My dad grabbed his M16, grabbed all of his gear. They threw him in the back of trucks. And then the truck my dad was in took off. And what it was this big valley in the jungle that separated the Air Force base from the rest of the jungle. And they were coming, headed towards that valley to cross over and invade the base. So what they had to do is put airmen, guards all along the valley and guard it, keep it from coming through. So my dad said they dropped the guy off, said, "Stay right there." And then that truck drove a long way, then stopped again. "De Leon, get out right here." My dad jumped out, and he said that truck just drove and drove until he couldn't hear it anymore. And somewhere down there, it dropped off the next guy. My dad said that was the loneliest feeling he has ever had. And he laid down overseeing this valley, and it's almost dark, and started lining up all of his banana clips and all of his ammo so he could grab it fast. And then he started hearing shots fired from away, and he started to see movement, and they were starting to come across. Extremely lonely feeling. I get accused of not giving you guys all the details, even after I've made my point. What happened then was, as they were dropping off more guys, another truck came by. I said, "Are there any gunners out here?" My dad said, "I'm a gunner." He said, "Get in the truck. We're going to get you in the air." He grabbed all the stuff, and he was gone. And they pushed the Viet Cong back, pushed them back where they belonged, okay, the Vietnamese back. But that lonely feeling, it was that type of loneliness and isolation that caused the Apostle Paul to say, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." See, the Apostle Paul and Pastor Timothy had a spiritual father-son relationship. And Paul wanted to see the young pastor one more time before his departure. He was going to die. And so he said, "Be diligent to come to me." Diligence is the exact same word in chapter 2, verse 15, when he told Timothy, "Be diligent to show yourself approved." In other words, be diligent to be a hardworking pastor. He uses that same word. He says, "Be diligent to come visit me." In other words, give it all you can and make it happen. Right. Now, and that's the kind of companionship that can keep you going, can it? That kind of companionship. Well, companions react differently in different situations. And what we see in these verses 9 through 12, are three types of companions, or I should say, three different actions companions can take. And number one there in verse 10 is when companions fail. When companions fail. Here's why he was wanting to see Timothy so bad, why he was so lonely, was because of verse 10. "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Now, who's Demas? Well, he's mentioned three times in the New Testament. He's mentioned in Philemon 24, an earlier letter Paul wrote, in which he wrote, "Demas is his fellow laborer." Okay, so Demas was a born-again brother in the Lord, and he was on Paul's missionary team. Colossians 4:14 also mentions Demas as being part of the missionary team. He was a believer serving Christ, reaching the lost, helping get churches off the ground. And now, sadly, in this letter, Paul tells Pastor Timothy that Demas has forsaken him. And the word forsaken, it means more than just to leave. Just because somebody leaves doesn't mean they've forsaken. When my son Solomon was a little boy, when he was just a little guy, and he was like his dad. He was a loner, liked to play by himself, didn't want companions around, you know. That's the way he liked to do things. And if he was playing with toys, and we would go into, "What you doing, Solomon?" And we were bugging him. He would say, without looking at us, "Can you go away?" Yeah. He had no qualms about that. So, okay. So if by walking away, we were not forsaking our son. Because forsake means more than to leave. Forsake means to leave someone when they're in need. It's the idea of abandonment. And that's what Demas did. He forsook Paul when Paul had need. He's about to be put to death for his faith here. And Demas left. It says he left having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica. Now, what exactly about the world did he love? What was he chasing after? It doesn't say. Paul didn't go into those details. They weren't necessary. The point was he forsook Paul to chase the world. And it says he departed. Now, remember when you see the word departure when up in verse 6 when Paul said his own departure is at hand? That's a different word than what you're seeing here in verse 10 when it says Demas departed. See, remember from last week, Paul's departure, that's a really encouraging word. That's the word it means to be set free, to be set loose, like cutting off the anchor and just sailing into the deep blue sea. Or rolling up your tent and going home to a beautiful house. Or is the idea of loosening a prisoner. Remember that? That's how Paul was about to depart. This word for Demas is very different. This is a word meaning you departed because you got sidetracked and you're chasing after something. Not necessarily something bad. The wise men in Matthew 2:9 are said to have departed from the king to follow after the star. That's the same word here used of Demas's departure. Or John the Baptist's disciples in Matthew 11:7 departed to follow after John. Or in Acts chapter 5 verse 41, it says the disciples departed from the council to pursue their mission of spreading the gospel. So this kind of departure always has the idea of I'm chasing after something. Unfortunately, in Demas' case, what he departed after was the world when he was on track to serving the Lord. He left it to chase the world. It's kind of like taking the bait and being distracted from what is good to chase that which is not good. Like they say about a fish, he would never get caught if he just keep his mouth shut. Okay? They get distracted. They get sidetracked and they depart after that which harms them. And that's what Demas did. He followed after the world, and this happens. And it's heartbreaking. You can imagine how much this was heartbreaking to Paul. I had a young man in my youth group when I was a youth leader at Northwest Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona. And we saw him come to know the Lord. It cost him greatly. When he made the announcement he would be baptized, his mom kicked him out of the house. She didn't want anything to do with any of that. He went to live with one of our families in church and just grew in the Lord. He graduated from high school and made plans to go to Bible college because he believed God was calling him to ministry, and that was his plan. And he enrolled in Bible college and everything, and it was about 6 months away before, about 3 months away because he enrolled at the end of his senior year. So he had about 3 or 4 months before the spring fall semester would start. So he got a job, took a job so he could start putting away money for college. Well, he started making more money than he'd ever made in his life. He was only 18 years old. And before that summer was over, he decided that he would just stay with this job and forget Bible college and forget following the Lord into the ministry, which he did. And last I heard, not only was he not in the ministry, he wasn't even serving the Lord. Don't doubt his salvation, but he departed after the things of the world, having loved this present world. Folks, money, young people, don't ever forsake the Lord for the sake of a job. It's just money. Okay? You won't have that money forever, but the riches the Lord offers you, man, they'll last for eternity. Chase him. So that was heartbreaking. And we'll never hear of Demas again. I'm sure he knew the Lord. He was one of the missionary team. He was a beloved laborer, fellow laborer, he was called. But I think he found out in this life the hard cost of forsaking the spiritual for the sake of the temporal. But then the encouragement is there are also those kind of companions who, number two, will follow. When companions follow the Lord I'm talking about. Notice what he says in the rest of verse 10. He says, and this is part of why Paul's so lonely, he says, for Crescens for Galatia and Titus for Dalmatia. In other words, these two guys left too. Now, they did not forsake Paul. They didn't forsake. They were simply following after the Lord. Okay? Crescens is mentioned only here. We don't know anything else about this man. We know nothing else about him. But he went to Galatia because he was following the Lord. That was part of where God led him. So he had to leave the team for that. Titus, we know all about Titus, right? He was a spiritual leader as part of Paul's missionary team. He evidently needed to go to Dalmatia because that's where God led him. Titus ultimately had the job of finding pastors and recruiting pastors for all the churches in Crete. You got to be a spiritual man if you're on the hunt for pastors. Okay? That's why your deacons, folks, that's why your deacons are under a lot of pressure when they find themselves as a pulpit committee and they have the job of presenting before you a possible candidate for a pastor. Can you imagine that kind of pressure? Okay. Well, this is exactly what Titus was to do, was to go find a bunch of men who were qualified to pastor churches who needed pastors. So he's a very spiritual man. And these men did not abandon the Apostle Paul. They left because God led them and they followed. The end result was Paul was by himself and he was lonely. But you keep that in mind. Parents, if you have a child that grows up and says, man, I'm just going to go where the Lord wants me, praise God for that. Even if they follow the Lord to a place you'd rather not see them go. A lot of Christian parents have accused their children of abandonment because their children were following the Lord. That happens. Children have been told, and as children, they're grown people at the time, but they've been told, you know, you don't love us, you don't care about us, you're abandoning us. I would so much rather have my boys serving God Almighty on the other side of the planet than sinning in my own backyard. You're going to live for the Lord. Man, I don't care where you live because I've got eternity to share life with you. Right? But in this life, man, chase after the Lord. Follow him. And these two did that. So did Luke in verse 11. He said, only Luke is with me. Now, Luke stayed with Paul because he was following the Lord, and that's where God led Luke to stay. And we all know who Luke is. Dr. Luke, who got saved and had a wonderful ministry on Paul's missionary team. We believe Luke was used of God to pen not one, but two of the books of the New Testament, the book of Acts and the gospel, which bears his name. Right? Just following the Lord. And he was a professional. He was a physician. It's always encouraging to hear of people who have skills and qualifications and credentials to which they could probably earn a whole lot of money in this life, but they follow after the Lord and they use those skills in Christian service at the expense of a lot of money. They don't make much. But hey, when the Lord is first, they're as rich as they're ever going to be. Okay? And monetary value just cannot compare to that. And then, of course, he says in verse 12, he says, and Tychicus. That's a tough one to say. What's your name? Tychicus. And Tychicus. You know, we get all these names, that baby names that go in fads. And a lot of them are, but we Christian parents are always looking for baby names. I am yet to meet a Tychicus. Okay? Some of you pregnant moms, be original. Come on, man. You know? Let's have a Tychicus here at Open Door. He says, Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. Here was another man who was part of Paul's missionary team. And he's mentioned actually in Ephesians 6:21, and he's called a beloved brother and a faithful minister in that passage. And he's mentioned several other times. And you know what a lot of what Tychicus did? as a minister of Christ. He brought messages to people. A lot of what he did was take these inspired letters that were written by God and took them to where they were supposed to go. Took them to this church and made copies for that church. And he delivered a lot of good messages. That's what he did in the kingdom of God. He also evidently had the spiritual aptitude to pastor, at least to be an interim pastor, because he was the reason Timothy could leave the church at Ephesus. That's where Timothy was the pastor. And Paul said, come to me. That means Timothy had to take a sabbatical. And for him to do that, he needed someone else. Well, Paul just said he sent Tychicus to Ephesus. So Ephesus was going to be the interim in Timothy's absence. Here's a man following after the Lord. Okay? So these guys just followed, and while they were together, you can imagine what a fantastic missionary team they made. A bunch of people following the Lord, doing what God wants them to do. It's exciting to support missionary teams that are like this, like the Strongs. Chad and Rachel are not on their own. They are part of a missionary team that has the combined goal of training locals in Nicaragua to be pastors. That's the team doing that. Well, that's fantastic. It's a blessing to serve on a missionary team, but it's also a blessing to serve on any team that is pulled together for the sake of Christ. I'm on such a team here at Open Door. Me and Pastor Paul and Amy Vare, we all have the responsibility of serving Open Door Baptist Church as a team. And it's wonderful. It's just fantastic because all of us bring different strengths to the table, and we cancel each other out that way. And Amy is forever, you know, pulling me out of the fire and catching my goof-ups and helping me out and seeing. Pastor Paul's got strengths I don't have, and he's able to run with things that I would flounder with. This is what a team does, and that's what these guys were doing. Right? Of course, this is not limited to pastors and deacons or church office administrators. We are all to be beloved brothers and sisters in Christ and faithful ministers in his team. Are we not? Okay. We're supposed to be ministers with and to one another. And we can be. We're all following the Lord. And see, when you have this attitude and you have this mindset of following the Lord, when God leads one of us someplace else, we tearfully say goodbye, but there's no feeling of abandonment. Just following the Lord. We've had a lot of people leave Open Door to chase after the Lord here or there, or move them there, or take that one into ministry, or take this pastor down south or that pastor out west, because they're just following the Lord. And we say we don't like going through goodbyes, but isn't it great to see people just doing what Christ calls them to do and to know you're part of that team? Well, that's what these guys were. But God was leading all of this team apart. He was breaking up the team. God had plans. And that team was not eternal in that sense. They had places to go, and now Paul is by himself. But there is another very important occurrence here, not only when companions fail and when companions follow, but number three, what you're going to see here is when companions forgive. When companions forgive, that has to happen. Because he says in verse 11, the latter half of verse 11, he says to Timothy, get Mark. Whoever Mark is, when you come visit me, get him. Go get him. Get Mark. Bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. Now, what is so special about that is Acts chapter 5, or 15 rather, Acts chapter 15. You see the background in Acts 15, verses starting with verse 36. It says, then after some days, Paul and Barnabas were the missionary team back then, and they were the leaders of this team. And it says, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. In other words, let's go on a mini furlough here and go visit all those churches, and let's see how they're doing. Okay, so that's where the idea of a furlough comes. You know, our missionaries don't come back just so we can check up on them, folks. Our missionaries also are supposed to come back to check up on us. You know that? I'd like to be a missionary and go back, and one of your supporting churches is suddenly doing things that are unbiblical or not right. You know? They need to be checking on us, too, and that's what they're going to do. So in verse 37, it says, now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them, this is Mark, the one who had departed from them, Pamphylia, and had not gone with them to the work. Okay, we have a disagreement in the missionary team here, and that disagreement is over Mark. Evidently, Mark had failed this missionary team. See where it says that Mark, that they not take with them the one who had departed? There is that word departed again in the English, but yet it is a third word than what we've seen thus far. Okay? See, first, the word departed meant to be loosed, to be set free. Then we saw how departed means to leave in order to chase after something. You know what this word means? This word, departed, means to withdraw and stand aloof when there is work to be done. That's what that means. Like, those of you who have little kids, it's really funny. Every time you get the kids together, okay, guys, we got to go, and we're all going to work together to rake up the yard. It's funny. That's when one of the kids suddenly has to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Or my dad. My dad has been in the contracting business since the 80s. He saw the birth and growth of the cell phone. My dad was the first man I ever knew to own a cell phone, so he has seen it grow. And it's really funny. You got a bunch of contractors standing around, and they're talking about something, and then a delivery truck comes. Maybe a big delivery truck of steel or a lumber. It's got to be unloaded. And invariably, my dad said, that's always when one of the contractors, right at that moment, oh, sorry, guys, I got to take this call. This is important. So the dad said, that's a contractor's trick, see, to depart from that which needs to be done and stand aloof. Well, that's what Mark did. Again, no details are shared here, but there was work to be done in the ministry, and Mark, either out of fear, intimidation, we don't know, but he withdrew and he failed the team. And now, Paul is saying, that's it. Let's not take him with us on any more mission trips. And Barnabas, who is his cousin, says, no, we're going to give him another chance. And they argued over this. And in verse 39, it says that the contention became so sharp, they parted from one another. Barnabas took Mark, Paul took Silas, and they split up the mission team. Okay. Well, with that, you come back to 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Now Paul, speaking of that same Mark, says, get Mark, bring him with you, because he is useful for me in ministry. You know what that word useful means? It means profitable. Have you ever work alongside of somebody who was just so helpful to have around? You were glad they were there. They did the work of three people. They knew what they were doing. Have you ever been around someone like that? And then, have you ever had to work with somebody who was just simply always in the way? Okay, what a difference, huh? Well, Mark evidently was the latter kind, but had turned into the former kind. He was useful. Paul was glad to have him around. He said, bring him back. Guy's useful to me. And Paul right now is not even thinking of probably ministry. He's going to die. He's thinking Mark is just profitable to him personally. It's an advantage to have him in my presence when I'm about to go be with the Lord. It seems that Mark got that second chance after all. We don't know exactly when, but evidently forgiveness took place. Who forgave who? You see, the Bible doesn't chastise Paul in that argument between him and Barnabas. Neither does the Bible commend Barnabas for giving Mark the second chance. The Bible's silent on that, but we can draw some conclusions. Could it have been that the Apostle Paul is a little harsh? He was a zealous man, and he might have been one to say, you blow it once, and that's it. Mark had reason to be offended by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had reason to be offended by Mark. Mark let him down, didn't follow through on his word and his commitment. So they both had reason to be offended by the other. But you know what that also means is they both had reason to forgive the other. And they did. And they evidently worked together again, and now Paul is so blessed by this man who he had so many years earlier written off from ministry. And look what Mark did do. He was used of the Lord, and he was a mighty man of God. He got those second chances, and sometimes it takes 3 and 4 and 5 chances. But folks, we all have to do this. We all have to forgive one another without making each other jump through hoops. When you forgive somebody, you don't hold up a milk bone and say, jump until you're high enough, and then I'll throw you your milk bone of forgiveness. No. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is, man, I'm coming at you with open arms because I want whatever is between us to be put away. I'm going to put it away and throw it out so that we can be together once again. And of course, the Apostle Paul explained how to forgive in other letters, and evidently, the man practiced what he preached. Because this man who didn't, at one time, want anything to do with Mark, now wants him by his side in his last days. So if you've walked with the Lord long at all, then you've already discovered that you're going to have companions who will fail you, right? You've also discovered you're going to have companions who will encourage you because they just follow the Lord so closely. And you're going to find that those are the companions that also forgive you without any strings attached or without requiring you to jump through all of their personal hoops, right? But I'm not so sure God gave us this section of Scripture to prepare you for what kind of companions you're going to have in this life as much as he gave it to confront you with what kind of companion you will be in this life. What will you be? Will you be one of those who fails and gets sidetracked by the world and walks away? Or will you be one of those who puts God first and follows after him even when the cost is high? Will you be a companion who forgives those who offend you and even chases after them instead of waiting for them to come beg your forgiveness? But you make the first move because you want to have fellowship with those around you instead of make enemies of those who are in the same kingdom of Jesus Christ that you're in. It takes a will of a spiritual heart and a desire to serve our mighty God, to follow after him instead of failing him, and to forgive others when they failed you. But you can do this. You can absolutely do this when you choose Christ first. You will not fail the Lord in your walk. Oh yeah, we're still sinners, but in your walk with the Lord, folks, your walk does not need to be one of failure. It just needs to be one of following. And forgiveness will be part of that walk. You're going to have to ask forgiveness from time to time, but just as hard, and maybe even harder for some, you're going to have to grant forgiveness from time to time. Hey, the mighty Apostle Paul did. Mark did. You can too. You serve the same Jesus that they serve. Father, thank you again for these men. And we don't know what happened to Demas in his walk in this earth. We're sorry that he is recorded as having failed you. But we're also thankful that we have your Holy Scriptures to learn what not to do as well as what to do. But Lord, we know we cannot do anything for you by our own strength, but rather by the strength of the Holy Spirit, strength of the Lord. Thank you for this church, and may we continue to follow after you, and when we fail one another, to forgive and to seek restoration and the joy of fellowship here at Open Door Baptist Church. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.